الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في مجلس يحدث القوم جاءه عربي فقال متى الساعة فمضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحدث فقال بعض القوم سمع ما قال فكره ما قال وقال بعضهم بل لم يسمع حتى إذا قضى حديثه قال أين أراه السائل عن الساعة؟ قال ها أنا يا رسول الله. قال فإذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. قال كيف إذاعتها؟ قال إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله فانتظر الساعة، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه says whilst النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was in a gathering speaking to a group of people, جاءه عربي, a Bedouin came to him and he said متى الساعة, when is قيامه, when will قيامه take place. Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه says فمضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحدث. The Rasul of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم continued with his speech. He continued with his conversation. Upon seeing this, فقال بعض القوم, some individuals from the gathering said, سَمِعَ مَا قَالَ فَكَرِهَ مَا قَالَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has heard what the Bedouin has said, but he did not reply because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has disliked what he said. Disliked either the question or disliked the manner in which he questioned. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ, some others said, بَلَّمْ يَسْمَعْ. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not answer because he did not hear him. He did not hear the question. So either Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply because he did not hear the question, or he did hear the question, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not reply because he disliked the question. These two possibilities remained. until hatta idha qadha hadithahu, until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam completed his conversation, he completed his speech, and thereafter he said, aina urahu sa'ilu an as-sa'ati, aina as-sa'ilu an as-sa'ati, where is the questioner regarding qiyamah? So there were two possibilities. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam did not answer because he did not hear the question. So that possibility was eliminated, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam responded by saying, aina sa'ilu an as-sa'ati, where is the questioner regarding qiyamah? And the other possibility was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did hear the question, but he did not reply because he disliked the question. Either he disliked the question regarding qiyamah, when will qiyamah take place? It is a futile question. When will qiyamah take place? Whether we know the exact day, date and time of qiyamah or not, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference to our goals. It doesn't make any difference to our objectives. If we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made 5 times salat farz, and if we don't know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made 5 times salat farz, it will make a big difference to our goals and our objectives. When will qiyamah take place? When will Imam Mahdi come? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has foretold many things in his hadith, that before the advent of qiyamah, these incidents will take place in Madina Munawwara, these incidents will take place in Iraq, these incidents will take place in this part of the world, these incidents will take place in this part of the world. People go into discussions when certain things happen throughout the world or in a part of the world, and they say, is this what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this particular hadith? Shaitan makes us waste our time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, as-su'alu nisful ilm. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has encouraged the students to ask questions. He has encouraged the juniors to ask questions to their superiors, because a good question brings about a lot of good. When a person asks a good question, then the whole gathering will benefit as a result of that question. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, as-su'alu nisful ilm, a good question, a relevant question, an important question in regards to deen, deeni matters, a good question, important question, is half of ilm. Because when a person asks a question, that instigates the alim, the person with knowledge, to start talking about that particular issue. And sometimes it may be a very short answer, permissible, not permissible, yes, no, that is also beneficial. But sometimes the alim may go into more details. And people will learn more than the answer that the questioner was after. So we should ask good questions.
good question, practical questions regarding our salat, regarding our sawm, regarding our zakat, regarding our ibadat, devotions, worship, regarding our muamalat, transactions, dealings, regarding our muasharat, how we should live with one another, regarding our akhlaq, tazkiyah, soul purification, how to purify our souls from akhlaq-e razila, debasing qualities, and how to adorn our hearts, our souls with praiseworthy qualities. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hear the question, but he either disliked the question itself because it was irrelevant. Knowing when Qiyamah will take place or not knowing when Qiyamah will take place doesn't make any difference. Or he disliked the manner of questioning, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preoccupied. And he was talking to a group of people. He was answering their questions or he was teaching them, and very abruptly a person comes and he says, Mata sa'atu? So from amongst the two possibilities that the Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain were entertaining, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the look for the Bedouin, Aina sa'ilu anis sa'ate, where is the questioner regarding Qiyamah? One possibility was eliminated and only one remained. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hear the question, but it seemed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam either disliked the question or disliked the manner of question. But there is also another possibility. And that possibility is maybe Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for wahy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this person is a Bedouin, he is a villager, he lives in a village, and he doesn't reside in Madina Munawwara. So he can not learn the etiquettes that the residents of Madina Munawwara are learning from me on a day-to-day basis. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not expect him to behave the way he expected Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or Ali or Bilal or Talha or Zubair or Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhum to behave. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard his question, and he did not dislike the question because he had not reached those heights in ilm whereby he was able to ascertain what to ask, what not to ask, because he was a villager. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not dislike the manner of his questioning as well, because he was a Bedouin. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to him immediately because he was waiting for an answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is this other possibility also. But we cannot say for sure why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to him. It was either because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for wahy, for the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked the question, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was admonishing him by ignoring him. Or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not like the manner in which he questioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was admonishing him by ignoring him. Now here we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to the Bedouin straight away. From this we learn a very important lesson, that when we put a question forward to an alim or a mufti, it is not necessary for the mufti or for the alim to answer our question immediately. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond immediately. So if there is a valid reason, a genuine reason for the mufti or for the alim not to respond immediately, then there is nothing wrong with it. And because the person in question is an alim, alim, respectable alim, authority, that is why we are questioning him. If we did not accept him to be an authority, why would we have gone to ask him regarding Sharia matters? So he is an authority. Similarly, a mufti, authority. So they know when to answer, when not to answer. So if we go to an alim, if we go to a mufti, if we write to a mufti, if we write to an alim, if we send a text to an alim, if we send an email to an alim, and if we don't get a response straight away, then we should not feel bad regarding that particular alim or that particular mufti. There are various situations. There are certain situations where the mufti or the alim has to answer immediately. For example, the question is related to aqidah. A person is asking a question which is related to aqidah, where there is fear of kufr. So the alim or the mufti will have to respond quickly, immediately. Or the questioner is asking a question which is confined to a time limit. For example, Maghrib Salah is at 6:30, and a questioner comes to a mufti and he says, I have performed my Asr Salah today and I have a query regarding the Asr Salah that I have performed. Now if the mufti says, come to me after Maghrib Salat or I'll see you tomorrow. And thereafter if the mufti concludes that your salat was invalid, his salah will become qada. So this is also a case of necessity, where the mufti will have to attend to him immediately. A mufti is felting the jamarat, and somebody comes to him and he says that I need to ask you a mas'ala or a question regarding the parroting of the jamarat, he will have to attend to him straight away, immediately. Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala has narrated a hadith of a sahabi, Abu Rifa'ah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Rifa'ah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came to Madinah Munawwara and he met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was giving khutbah. Khutbah of Jummah or just a normal lecture? He was lecturing. He was giving a khutbah. And whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the khutbah, he abruptly asked a question, just like this Bedouin. He said, Rajulun gharibun ja'a yas'alu an deenihi wa ma ya'lamu ma deenuhu. He said, a traveler has come from outside into Madina Munawwara and he wants to know regarding deen and he doesn't know what deen is. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam immediately realized that this is a matter of iman and kufr. It's a necessity. And this person has come from outside. This is also another reason for a mufti to attend to the questioner immediately, that if the mufti feels that the question is not very important, it can wait till tomorrow. It is not something to do with aqidah. It is not time related, but the questioner is not local. He is somebody strange. He is from outside Leicester. From where only Allah knows. He could be from a place where there are no ulama. So the mufti needs to inquire, where are you from, brother? I am from Blackburn. Oh, alhamdulillah. In Blackburn there are so many ulama. I am from Batli, alhamdulillah, there are so many ulama from Batli. After listening to his question, if the Mufti concludes that it is not something that needs to be attended immediately, then the Mufti can say that I am busy, I will not be able to attend to you straight away. If you are here in Leicester tomorrow, please come and see me, otherwise you refer to the ulama in Blackburn. So here we had somebody who was from outside. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not know when he was to return. And then the question was related to Iman and Kufr. He wanted to know what deen is. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam stopped his lecture. He stopped his khutbah. He did not reprimand him either, because it was emergency. It was emergency. If a questioner asks a question abruptly to an alim or a mufti who is engaged in something else, talking to somebody, writing a fatwa, studying a kitab, he asks abruptly, and the question is related to aqidah, or the question is related to time limit, then it is not against adab. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not show any resentment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not admonish him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately stopped the khutbah, and he walked up to Abu Rifa'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, realizing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to enter a conversation with Abu Rifa'a radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they bought a chair for him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the chair and started talking to him regarding deen and explaining to him what the deen of Islam is. But if the person who is asking the question is not asking regarding aqidah, or it is not something that is confined to time, he is local, then the mufti does not have to attend to him straight away, and he should not abruptly ask question. It will be against adab. And in that case, the mufti or the alim has either of two choices: either forgive his disrespect and pay attention to him and straight away answer him, or ignore him and teach him a lesson. By ignoring him, you will be admonishing him. This is a way of admonishing. So you ignore him. The Mufti has these two choices. And if it is not a question which is important, which is necessary, if it is a question which can wait for tomorrow, or if it is a question which other ulama in the locality can also answer, the Mufti can say, I'm a bit busy at the moment, please come later. I'll see you after a week. And if it is very important, then you go and ask other people. Or, I'm very busy for the next 2-3 months. It's the end of my academic year and I'm very busy teaching. My health is not too well as well. So please refer to other ulama. The Mufti can do this. And if the question is only for the sake of questioning, or if the question is so that the answer may support his argument, because there is a friction between him and somebody else, so the answer may cause friction amongst people. If it is only for the sake of questioning, it is to put petrol to the friction that is already going. But if it is a question which he, the questioner, and the public will not be able to understand the answer, very, very delicate question, which the questioner and the public do not have the capacity to understand, because you need to have a certain level of knowledge to understand many things, then in that case also the Mufti can refuse to answer. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not answer. And One possibility is that he did not answer. He did not answer because he waited for wahy. This is one possibility. There is a lesson in this for the ulama, for the muftis, for the ulama, that when a person is asked a question, he should make sure that he knows the answer properly before answering. If he needs to refer to books, he should refer to books and thereafter answer. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is being asked a question and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not answering because he is waiting for either the answer or for the confirmation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, the other possibility is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer him immediately because he disliked the manner. He disliked the manner in which the talibul ilm, the student or the questioner, was making the inquiry. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was admonishing him. There are two lessons we learn from this. The teachers learn two lessons. The teachers learn two lessons. One lesson the teachers learn is that they need to teach ilm, and with ilm they need to teach etiquettes and the adab to the students also. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did not answer his question straight away. He taught him an adab. And because he was a Bedouin, but a Sahabi, he had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Iman. So alhamdulillah, he had the understanding. So this was sufficient for him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not respond to him was sufficient for him. That was like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanding him. So he would not repeat the same mistake again. So this is one thing that the teachers learn. That we should not only teach halal, haram, jais, najais, permissible, not permissible. We should not only teach mustahabbat and adab, but we should also try to nurture them to follow what we teach them, follow the adab, follow the etiquettes, carry out the halal and stay away from haram. This is one adab that the teachers learn. The other adab that the teachers learn is that whilst teaching the students, whilst nurturing the students, and whilst admonishing and reprimanding the students, they should always remain affectionate. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not show any anger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not scold him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon being disturbed by his abrupt question, did not say anything to him at that very moment and then ignore him. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a calm manner, continued teaching the other sahaba, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not completely ignore him. He gave him importance. Aina urahu sa'il? Aina sa'ilu anis sa'ati? Where is the gentleman who was asking me regarding qiyamah? Because I want to give him the answer. The teachers need to be affectionate. Admonition, telling off, showing resentment, showing anger is not to satisfy the nafs. Resentment, showing resentment, showing anger, admonishing the students, reprimanding the students should be only for their nurturing. It is for this reason the ulama have stated that a teacher should not punish the students whilst he is angry. In the state of anger, he should not punish the student. He should not tell him off when he is angry. Because when he is angry and he tells the student off, he admonishes the student, He reprimands the student, he will be satisfying his nafs. He will be satisfying his anger. So student should not be admonished by the teacher when the teacher is angry. Yes, when he is not angry, only to nurture the student, he should pretend to be angry. And when a person pretends to be angry, he will not cause harm to the other party. Because a person causes harm to the other party when he is angry. These are the two other we learn. The teachers have to be very, very affectionate. The teachers need to treat the students as if they are their own sons and they are their own children. Be affectionate to them. And part of being affectionate is that they should prepare well for the lesson. They should lecture well. They should listen to the lessons of the students well. They should pay attention to the weak students more. And they should encourage the weak students. And with that they should continually make dua for their students. That, oh Allah, grant them progress. Oh Allah, grant them barakah in their understanding. Grant them barakah in their memory. Oh Allah, make them the khuddam of deen. Make them ulama-i rabbaniyin. And then there is a lesson for the students also. And the lesson is that they need to be respectable to their teachers. They need to be respectable to their teachers. Those students who show respect to their teachers and respect physically as well and respect the teachers with their heart as well. Revere the teacher. Have love for the teacher. Have respect for the teacher from the heart. And also physically. In the Hadith Jibreel, Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that once we were sitting in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and a person came. It was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam in human form. So a person came. بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استلى علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب وشديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. He gives a description of this newcomer. And then he further says, عمر رضي الله عنه فجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He went right at the front and he sat in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Without causing any harm to the other participants and other attendees, he was able to go as far as possible. So he went and he sat right in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahabi Karam Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majma'in were well mannered. So whenever they saw a stranger come into the gathering, they would give him the opportunity to go right at the front, so he was able to benefit from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went right at the front. And he sat so close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَّا رُكْبَتَيْهِ, that he sat so close that his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen very carefully. First another rukbatihi ila rukbatihi. And when did this happen? This happened fi akhiri umurihi, during the last stages of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 63, this incident is taking place. And he said that he sat in a manner that his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ, and he placed his palms on his thighs, on his own thighs, like we sit in the attahiyyat position. So he sat respectfully. He sat like we sit in the attahiyyat position in salat, and he placed his hands on the thighs. And thereafter he said, أخبرني عن الإسلام. "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please inform me regarding Islam." Now here, he was showing respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was the Nabi of Allah, the Sayyidul Mursaleen. He had many reasons to show respect. One reason was that he was sitting in front of the leader of the Mursaleen. The second reason was that he was sitting in front of his teacher. And the third reason was that he was going to acquire ilm. So respect for Nabi, respect for teacher, and respect for ilm. These are three different things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to talk about ilm. So Jibreel was inferior to him. He was not superior. Jibreel was not his Nabi. Jibreel was not his teacher. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to talk about deen, ilm. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had to show respect to ilm. It is for this reason he was also sitting in at-tahiyyat position. At the age of 63, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in at-tahiyyat position with his sahabai kiram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in when imparting dars, when talking about deen. Very important lessons for teachers. Because if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sitting in the at-tahiyyat position, then Umar radiyallahu ta'ala would not have been able to say that he sat in such a way that his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilm requires respect. So even our akabir, our elders, our aslaf, when they used to read just books on their own without the teacher, they would not lean and read books. They would not stretch their legs out and read the books. They would sit respectfully as if they were sitting in front of a teacher. Why? Because just as the teacher is deserving of respect, the kitab is also deserving of respect. Teacher is a means of ilm coming into our hearts. So kitab is also a means of ilm coming into our hearts. Our aslaf, our pious predecessors, not only the Quran, whenever they would study a book, any book associated with ilm, ilm of tafsir, ilm of hadith, ilm of fiqh, or even ilm of the Arabic language, nahu, sarf, they would make sure that they are with wudu. And if wudu used to break, they used to go and perform wudu. This is why they acquired a lot of barakah in their ilm, in their life, in their time. Barakah. For barakah, my friends, when we write ilm, we need to have wudu. When we read ilm, we need to have wudu. When we take ilm from our teachers, we need to have wudu. When we talk about ilm with our friends, we need to have wudu. Try to be with wudu. And wudu is a weapon. Wudu is a shield against shaitan. A person who remains with tahara is protected from the whispers of shaitan. So every Muslim should try to remain with wudu. Our aslaf, our akabir, they would not lean their backs against walls when imparting the dars or when studying ilm. And as far as teachers are concerned, we need to be very, very respectful. Even those teachers who have taught us alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha, they are our teachers. The teacher who has taught us alif, ba, ta, tha, he has opened the key, he has given us the key to the door of ilm. Without his alif, ba, ta, tha, we would not have been able to read the Quran. We would not have been able to study Bukhari Sharif. All of us, we need to respect our asatidah of the maktab. We should go and meet them, we should make salam to them a few times a year. We should make a point of meeting them, asking them how they are. We should not forget them. And we should always make dua for all our teachers, all our asatidas, all our asatidah who have taught us right from takhti until now. Even the books that we study from, they are also our teachers. We should make dua for all of them. And especially those teachers whom we are very much indebted to, who have taught us directly. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala used to say that it has been so many years, I cannot recollect at the moment, so many years. He says that it has been these many years that I have not performed a single fard salat after which I did not make dua for my Ustad Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. Never. Not even a single salat where I did not remember Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. We wake up early in the morning to study. We sleep late at night in order to study. Why? So that we can acquire ilm. This effort that you are exerting, inshallah it will increase your ilm, it will bring barakah in your ilm, but it is not only effort. These adab also become a means of barakah in ilm. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there is a possibility that he was teaching this particular student and all the other students also, that you should show respect to the teacher. You should not abrupt. Look at the circumstances. Look at the circumstances. And thereafter ask question. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyiduna Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates from him that he used to say, Tawada'u liman ta'allamuna minhu. Show humbleness and humility to those people from whom you seek knowledge, from whom you learn. And Abu Ubaida Qasim ibn Salam rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very great luminary, he says that ma daqaqtu ala muhaddisin babahu qattu. He said, never ever in my life have I gone to a muhaddis and knocked at his door. Never. When you go to learn from somebody, you have to knock on his door. In those days, there were no fixed times. So you go and you knock on his door and you say that I have come to learn from you. He said, never have I knocked on the door of a muhaddis. Why? He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran to the sahabi kiram, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. Allah is teaching the sahaba e adab. That if these sahaba, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا, if these sahaba exercised patience and did not knock at your door until you yourself came out. So if they need anything from you, the adab is that they should come wait outside your house, and when you come out, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, when you come out, then they should put their need in front of you. In this, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, this would have been very, very good for them. They would have been khair in it for them. لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. So Abu Ubaida Qasim ibn Salam rahimahullahu ta'ala was a great alim, so he understood this verse. So he applied it upon himself and he said that just as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was the teacher for the sahaba, the muhaddis that I seek to acquire knowledge from is my teacher. So whenever I used to go, I used to stand outside, and when the teacher used to come out, then only I used to put my request forward to him. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I used to go to the houses of other sahaba, the senior sahaba. I was very junior. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was only 13 years old. So I was very junior. He said, I used to go to the senior sahaba and I used to wait and sit outside their homes. I never used to knock. Sometimes the scorching heat, sometimes the sandstorm. When the sahabi used to come out, I used to get up very quickly and respectfully I would say that I have come to seek knowledge from you. Is this the appropriate time or shall we fix another time? So the sahabi would feel embarrassed and he would say, you are the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he did not inform me, you are sitting outside. So he used to say that this is what we have been taught, that this is how a student should behave with the teacher. My friends, the a'imma who teach us, the a'imma, they are our teachers also. We learn so much from them, they are our teachers also. And the teachers who have taught us in our maktab, the alphabets, the Quran, the durusul fiqh, du'as, the kalimas, they are also our teachers. We should respect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to implement these ta'limat, these teachings that have been derived from this incident of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives, so that we are also blessed with barakah and blessed with nur in our ilm and in our amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. يا عليم علمنا ما لم نكن نعلم يا عليم. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما وارزقني فهما. يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا، يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضاء بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك، ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد منه عبدك ونبيك. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.